Welcome to Bad Therapy, episode 14.
14.
14. Cheers. Bad bitch.
Cheers your Aperol Spritz,
silly
bitch.
Goofy pod. This is a silly, goofy fucking pod.
We're in a silly, goofy mood tonight.
Have you ever just been in a silly, goofy mood?
And then you're with your best friend, and then all of a sudden you're just in a sillier, goofier mood.
I was going to say, and then you're with your best friend, and you're in a sillier, goofier.
You mean that you're with your best friend?
You're with your best friend, and you're in a sillier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say that, and then you said it.
Yeah.
It's like we're
locked
in.
Are we locked in? Okay, confession. We've had a few drinks before this pod.
So there's teeny times. Pods. There's teeny times pods. And then there's serious pods. We've had this conversation multiple times. Sometimes we're here to talk about the tea. Sometimes we're here to fucking be in a silly, goofy mood. We're going to jump right into our first topic, which is actually not that silly or fucking goofy. It's kind of bullshit. I texted Allie today and I was like, I'm so sick of being a woman.
Yeah.
Because I woke up today, sunshine in my ass, daisies in my mouth, just a happy little clamp. In the best mood, feeling good, energy, killed my workout, ate really well, felt amazing. And the entire week last week, I feel like I could not get out of bed. I've had migraines all week long. I don't even like saying that word because I feel like it's a curse. An insatiable appetite, no energy, no desire to do anything. And it has so much to do with our cycles as women. And it's so unacknowledged because men don't get it.
Yeah, no, trying to explain a hormone cycle to a man is like trying to show them how to use a Rubik's cube. I was recently talking to a guy. So I, for one, and this will get back to what you were talking about, but this is just an example. I have hypothyroidism. And whenever I get my blood drawn, because it's a hormonal thing within a woman, and I go to a homeopathic doctor, she tests me on day 21 of my cycle, which for anyone that isn't informed on this, because I wasn't until I knew, like day one of your period is day one of your cycle. And then you count down from there. So I get my blood drawn on day 21. Anyways, I was talking to this
guy. What's the relevance of 21? Just out of curiosity.
It's when your progesterone is the highest.
So like, would you?
I don't know exactly like how that factors into why she wants that tested, but that is the hormone that's supposed to be the highest. And I think it's like maybe when all the other hormones are low, so you get the best read. I don't know. Don't fucking quote me on that. But I was explaining this to a guy that I was talking to recently, and I was just telling him, hypothyroidism is frustrating as it is. And I was explaining that I didn't get my blood drawn one day because they didn't have my panel, blah, 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 blah. Like it was day 21. I had to get it that day or I had to wait another month. And his innate reaction was to be like, oh, you're talking about girl stuff.
That's so immature.
But not immature.
What a tod.
As it is like uneducated because y'all have hormone cycles too.
Men,
hormones are not just for women.
No, like go get your testosterone tested and get back to me.
Yeah. No. And the thing about that is like women have a 28-day hormone cycle and men is
24 hours.
Yeah. So that's why men a lot of the times wake up with a boner.
Sunshine in their ass.
Yeah. Sunshine in their ass. Like they're ready for the day. They wake up with a whole new set of energy for the day to come. And women, like 1 week we feel good, 1 week we feel really tired. It's because ours goes like this over 28 days and there's just resets every day.
Like must be nice because it's so impossible. So for me, somebody who's on birth control, and I've been on birth control since I was 11 years old. So when I was a kid, I was diagnosed with extremely severe chronic hormonal migraines. Mm-hmm. I was in the hospital for 3 months. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. They thought I had a brain tumor. I started my period. And they were like, okay, this is hormonal. We're going to put her on birth control immediately.
Isn't that funny? That's like their fix-all.
Okay, so that's your solution?
Yeah.
Go ahead and fuck up my hormones when I'm a child.
11?
11 years old. So I have never for a day not been on birth control. Not because, I mean, obviously I don't want to get pregnant, but to help my migraines.
Well, I had a similar situation because so I think I've dealt with hypothyroidism for a very long time, but because no doctor would ever take the time to look into what was wrong with me, they prescribed me, same thing, freshman year of high school, put me on birth control.
Here, give her some birth control. That'll help.
For me, it made me really suicidal. I mean, I would tell my doctor, like, I'm going fucking
crazy.
This
is not normal.
They're like, oh, it's the lowest dose. It's the low dose. Ask for the lowest dose. I'm like, it is the lowest dose. And I feel like I am going to off myself.
It's unbelievable. The shit this does to women makes them gain weight, break out, extremely reactive.
Depression, yep. Anxiety.
High, like, crazy mood swings.
I mean, hormones are, it's like we think of them as just something that occurs in our day-to-day life, but they actually, and I think women understand this more than men, it changes you as a person.
100%.
That's why when we're coming up on our period and we have like PMS, I think guys, the good guys understand that it's real, but I think for the most part, men, for some
reason, they think you're being dramatic. They think you're overreacting. Get control of yourself.
And I understand like how it might look, but I mean, swear, when I am PMSing, I know that I'm being crazy, but that doesn't change how real those
your feelings
feel.
Are.
Like, I feel like the world is falling.
Now, granted, being on your period is not a reason to act like a sociopath.
No.
But for men who don't understand that you're actually chemically imbalanced or chemically changed at the time, it's so frustrating because, and even myself, I'll doubt myself sometimes. I'll be like, why am I so exhausted? Why do I feel like this? My boyfriend's like, are you on your period? And I'm like,
shut the fuck
up. Fuck you.
No, but it is. It's like that back and forth with yourself. Even though I'm now that I'm medicated for my hypothyroidism, I now have a regular period, which is so funny how that goes hand in hand because your thyroid creates hormones for your body. So it makes sense that it would affect every other hormone in your body when it's off. Before I got treated for my hypothyroidism, I did not have a regular period. My periods were super painful, which is why they put me on birth control, because I had the most painful periods ever. And they were like, that's not normal, blah, blah, blah. Since I've been medicated for hypothyroidism, my periods are regular. They're not as painful.
But you're not even on birth control anymore, right?
Right. No, I've only ever been on birth control for like 2 weeks at a time because I literally makes me want to kill myself.
That's insane. So you've never been on birth control consistently?
I couldn't do it. The amount of hormones that they've tried to put me on through birth control that have made me feel like I want, and it's like I know it's not real, but it is real at the same time because it becomes your reality. Like, I can't really explain it.
It's the modern day lobotomy. Like, honestly,
it's true. It numbs you know, or it makes you crazy. Or
being on birth control can change the type of person that you want to be with.
Yeah.
If you're on birth control, the person that you're with, if you get off birth control, you may not be as attracted to them.
No, there was like an actual study done on this where women that were on birth control, when they started dating their partner and then they got off of it, were no longer attracted to the partner that they were with.
Because you release different chemicals, hormones, and pheromones that do not maybe directly relate to the person who you're with at that time.
We might need to fact check this really quickly, but I think it's the person that's not on birth control is more attracted to like masculinity, like not, you know, which is a term that can be misconstrued, but they're more attracted to masculine features, masculine persona, whereas the opposite, someone on birth control is more attracted to soft features, soft personality, soft this.
Well, and you know, it makes sense because birth control triggers a hormone, progesterone, in your body that makes your body think that you're in the early stages of pregnancy all the time.
Yeah.
That's why you don't get pregnant.
Care for you.
So because you're already pregnant, you're not looking for a masculine man to impregnate you. You're good. You're already pregnant.
Maybe I do need birth control.
But the fact that I've been pregnant for 10 years.
Right.
It's fucked up. And I'm so terrified to get off birth control because I don't know what's going to happen to your body. There's so many studies that say like rebound from birth control is the worst thing. It's worse than getting on birth control. Mm-hmm. The weight gain, the acne, the suicidal tendencies, the hormones, the crazy mood swings. And for me, the migraines.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on birth control anymore, but I cannot imagine living my life with 10, 15 migraines a month. I can't do it.
I mean, for you, it's different because for me, like, yeah, that does sound terrifying because anytime you're fucking with your hormones, like, it's scary. And me, someone that has always had unbalanced hormones and has struggled, like, I'll bring it back to this, but like, I cannot stress enough, when I got medicated for my hypothyroidism, my depression went away, my anxiety went away, my mood swings went away. Like, I was a new human being and I couldn't fucking believe it within a week of being medicated.
Because there was a root problem. That did not have anything to do with your period,
it
right?
Was my hormones in my body that were That's all the problem. It's like the domino effect of hormones. Like, one of them's off and then they're all off.
There's more than estrogen and progesterone hormones in our bodies. Like, there's so many other underlying causes. And the first thing that people want to do to young women is put them on birth control.
Yeah.
When you needed thyroid medication.
Yeah.
When I needed different medication for my migraines, actually probably needed anti-seizure medication.
Yeah.
Which is something that I was recommended but never actually put on because they were like, just go with the birth control.
Yeah.
Why is that like America's first underlying prescription?
That brings us into like a whole different category of women's health care because it's bullshit. I, a couple years back, had my first, you know, go around with pap smears. Sorry for all the men listening to this.
Said silly goofy podcast, pap smears.
For real. But it's on topic. Like, I had a pap smear and my results came back like something was wrong. And he was like, well, it should pass over time. It should change. It should go back to normal. But if it doesn't, then that's cause for concern. 2 years go by, nothing changed. So I had to get something called cryotherapy, which is where they literally take a dry ice stick and they prop you open, pull you open. It's like this big machine. It's loud and it's literally a stick of dry ice. And they go in and burn off all of, they paint your cervix with, sorry guys,
I remember when you went through this,
with
you
were vinegar, with white vinegar, and everything that's like supposedly potential cancer cell turns white. And so I went in and I was doing this and then they freeze it all off of you. They told me to take an Advil before I
came
in. And
it's excruciatingly painful.
Like so bad. I mean, no one come for me because it's bad. I haven't gone back to get checked since then because it was so traumatizing. Like I was driving home. I literally had to pull over off the side of the road. They just let you leave and drive home.
And they don't prescribe any anesthetic.
They don't put you down.
They don't tell you anything about how it's going to feel. Nope.
They don't give you any. They tell you take an Advil before we start and then bring some Tylenol for after.
No one to pick you up. No one to be there for you.
I drove myself home. I literally had to pull off the freeway onto the side of the road because the pain was so bad. I was hunched over in a ball crying in my car. Like it was traumatizing.
That's such bullshit.
Yeah, and not to mention the actual procedure itself was A, scary
and invasive.
B, invasive. C, fucking painful. Like it was so painful. And for them to just take an Advil, like, is crazy to me. And I saw a TikTok of this lady saying, yeah, my coworker came in the other day and he said he had to get an ultrasound on his ball sack. And the doctor,
oh, you poor thing.
The doctor offered to sedate him for a fucking ultrasound on his ball sack.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
And she goes, you're not going to do it. He's like, of course I'm going to do that.
For an ultrasound?
Yeah. How about we take a dry ice stick to your fucking nutsack?
Okay.
And tell me how you feel.
So on this topic, the implant, Mirena, copper, whatever.
Oh my God.
They love to talk about how this is the best birth control. And that's what I have. I have the implant.
IUD, right?
IUD. I know. There's multiple implants. I have the IUD implant. And there's so much talk about how there is no topical or medical anesthetic for this procedure. So me, I'm not a pussy. How many times do I have to say that on this podcast? I'm not a pussy.
And I vouch for that. This girl has the highest pain tolerance I've ever seen in my life.
I do not handle pain the same way as other people that I've seen. I can process it.
Yeah.
This was one thing I could not believe that they didn't offer. One, not only an anesthetic, but a ride home. So I go in to get this procedure done. Procedure. They don't call it a procedure. They call it, it'll be quick. It'll be 15 minutes. They undermine it from the second you sign up.
You think it's no big deal.
Nothing.
Just pop an Advil before you go.
Yeah. They didn't even tell me to take Advil. Nothing.
That's crazy.
They said, yeah, just show up and you'll be done in 15 minutes. That's what I heard. So I show up. They take me to the back and prop your legs up. You're obviously very uncomfortable. The one thing I can give this clinic is it was women only. And they did not let men in the room and they had a supervisor. So a woman watching the woman, which I appreciated because Can you imagine a man doing this and no one else?
My only doctor that I've ever had look inside me has been a man, two of them.
So a woman doctor, thankfully, I am in such an uncomfortable position. And she's like, okay, this is going to pinch. And again, not a pussy. I went unconscious. And when I say unconscious, I mean, when I came out of the pain that I felt was, they didn't give me any warning.
Yeah.
They didn't dilate me. They did nothing. I passed out. When I woke up, they had Skittles. And they were like, you need some sugar. You need some sugar immediately for your Skittles. Fucking Skittles.
What the fuck?
I'm like, do you have some Oxycontin?
Vicodin?
Anything. And they're like, it's in. You're fine. You're good to go. It can be pretty painful. We know. I was unconscious. And they said,
that's
okay,
wild.
Take a minute in the lobby. Eat these Skittles. And let us know if you have any continuing problems. I'm like, I can't stand. I'm trying to like stumble out of the office. I call my boyfriend, obviously. And I'm like, hey, he's at work. Because we didn't know that this was a procedure that needed.
Right, you're like, can you come fucking get
me? I said, can you please come pick me up? I can't even see.
Yeah.
The pain still after was excruciating and not like anything I'd ever experienced. It was so invasive and so uncomfortable. And he picks me up and he's like, he was pissed. He was like, there's nobody said anything about the fact that you were going to be in this much pain.
The thing that pisses me off about that is that it's an all women clinic and like they should warn you, because when I got my cryotherapy, the guy was a man. Both of the doctors that I had were men, and nothing against them. Like, they were both very, like,
but they don't know.
Inappropriate. But, like, how could they know what it actually feels like? They were both really nice, and, like, I felt really comfortable and safe, but I was in so much pain. Like, I literally at one point made a joke, like, if I knee you in the fucking face right now, like, sorry.
And you'd think as women, I don't know, maybe they haven't had experience with it, or they kind of acted like I was overreacting, which was pretty infuriating to me because I was not overreacting.
No.
And there was no sympathy, really. I mean,
well, I would be interested, like, if anyone else has gotten an IUD or any type of procedure similar, like, let us know what your experience was in the comments, because I personally am not on it, but I've considered getting the IUD. But based on Madison's experience, I would rather just.
I can tell you what, I'm so terrified to get it out. I will let it rot in my body.
Don't do that.
I'm like, I
just, you know what? Just request a sedative.
I don't think you can.
I think you can. Hell yeah. I think
they don't prescribe.
I think if you go in there and say it was so painful, I need a pain medication.
I'm terrified to get this out because this was so.
I mean, that's the least they could do. Like, how hard would it be for a medical physician's office to give you a pill that makes the pain not hurt so bad?
And you know what?
We probably have old pain meds somewhere. That
maybe because it was a ghetto ass clinic and it was free. They were like, she gets nothing.
No, but still, like,
someone said to me once, well, wait till you experience childbirth. I said, when you're in labor, your body is naturally dilating your cervix. Yeah. You're ready for something like that.
Yeah.
I was half a virgin
also,
at the time.
There are drugs available.
Literally half a virgin. They they destroyed my cervix and acted like it was normal. And not to mention the side effects after the aftermath. I bled for 6 months straight.
Yeah.
The lead.
But that's a hormonal thing. So when I got my cryotherapy and my, before they do the cryotherapy, they do a tissue test where they literally take a hole punch to your cervix. They hole punch it.
Hole punch?
It's literally like a hole puncher. It goes through and it takes a little piece out. And I just remember, like, that alone was the worst. The whole thing to me, like, I probably have, and I'm not even going to make jokes, but I probably should go get, make sure that I don't have cervical cancer based on the last time I was there. But I'm so afraid because of
the situation,
how traumatizing and painful that it was. And I really do need to get on top of that. But yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, take an Advil, take Tylenol. Like, how about give me 3 Xanax?
Just knocks her unconscious. On the topic of being medically induced, the one thing I was super grateful for in my experience was that I had not only a woman gynecologist, but also someone to supervise, because I've heard of so many horror stories of women with a male gynecologist and no supervisor who are sexually abused. Like, male gynecologists have been put in prison for sexually abusing their patients.
And listen, there's nothing against, like, male gynecologists. Like, my gynecologist is a man.
There's amazing. Yeah,
super
absolutely.
Super respectful. But there's also this side, like, thought of, like, why would you pick that to be your career?
You know,
of all the things.
You have to give it to some of them. Like, there's a lot of really, really amazing doctors out there who are doing it to better womanhood.
Yeah.
There should always, always, always be a supervisor in the room.
Yeah.
If there's not.
There always has been with me. And both of the men, I've only had 2 people ever, like, violate me in that way. And
violate.
That's what it feels like, right?
I mean, it's
like,
horrible.
Tell me it doesn't feel like a violation.
It's a man you don't know. Your legs are spread in a saddle.
And then
in
there's
a
like a stranger standing there watching
with
it all.
With metal tongs.
Yeah.
Like, tell me that's not the fucking
crying
worst
and
thing.
And hurting you. And it's horrible and it's traumatizing. And I will say that I was really blessed with 2 male doctors that were really respectful, really took care of me, made me feel safe. But that doesn't make it any less uncomfortable. And then there's always the thing in the back of your mind, like, they don't really understand what's going on right now. But yeah, to think, like, that women have been taken advantage of in those situations is honestly just so fucked up.
Can you imagine going into a situation where you're already so physically, mentally, emotionally vulnerable?
Yeah.
And then being taken advantage of when you're just trying to protect your health?
Yeah.
Like, no wonder there's so many women's health problems and there's so many things that are neglected. And I think it's amazing that 85% of OBGYNs are women. So at least it's not like 50-50. That might be like a little concerning. Mm-hmm. And no shade to really fantastic OBGYNs who are male.
Right.
But there's not a lot of women who are going to say, yeah, give me a male doctor. I don't need a supervisor. Right. Everything's comfortable.
Right.
Because it's not.
To me, it's not. And like, I don't mean any shade to any male OBGYN, but like, what do they know about women's bodies?
Because what they learned in school.
Because I'll be completely honest, and this is TMI to everyone, but I have, since I was a little girl, have suffered from like chronic yeast infections and UTIs, like chronically. If I wear a bathing suit for too long, if I drink too much beer.
Or like, if you're with the wrong guy.
If I'm with the wrong guy. So many factors. It's like a fucking problem in my
life. That a guy would never understand.
And I had a doctor that was, so here's another TMI thing. Whenever I would get UTIs, the antibiotics for the UTI would give me a yeast infection. And
like, that's counterproductive.
Yeah. So, but like, I tried to tell my doctor this, and he had been my doctor, and so he should know that this is the thing that has occurred. But he told me he could not prescribe me the yeast infection medication because he was giving me UTI medication. Couldn't give me the yeast infection medication until I had the yeast infection. And
you're like, thanks. That's fucking helpful.
Right. So I was like, okay. So then I ended up having to go to a clinic like in a different city from where we live because it was so, I had such a bad yeast infection after this. And I thought it was an ongoing UTI. I was like, what is going on? And I talked to her. It was a female at an urgent care. And she was like, who's your doctor? And I told her, and she was like, okay, well, maybe you should find a female doctor.
A woman.
She was
pissed.
She was like, he knows that this has happened to you in the past and he wouldn't prescribe you the medication.
Because he's never had a UTI or a fucking yeast infection.
No idea what that's like as a woman.
And also, I'd like to talk about the fact that UTIs and yeast infections are triggered like excessively when you're with the wrong person, with a person whose DNA like counteracts yours.
Their biochemistry. Like fighting yours. Which is always honestly the craziest thing to me, because if anyone listening to this is hooking up with the new guy and keeps getting UTIs or yeast infections or there's some issue, it is your body, the universe, God
screaming,
whatever you
want
to believe.
No,
that person is not your person. Your person will not take it from someone that chronically, like, you could sneeze wrong in my direction and I get a fucking UTI. Yes. But when I'm with the right person or when I'm with someone,
you're balanced. Your pH is balanced.
Because I never used to have this problem. I could think of a few guys that were good to me and that was a good fit, this and that. The second I'm with a really toxic person, it's weird how that goes hand in hand. But yeah, the yeast infections, the UTIs, it's like I look at them wrong. I kiss them and all of a sudden for some reason
you're fucked up. And honestly, I can speak to that too. And I don't have any like problems like that with you. I don't have chronic UTIs, chronic yeast. I never in my life have I had a yeast infection. I had an experience with a guy who I really thought I wanted to be the right person, but wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I was so, my pH was destroyed. I had to lie to him like, oh, I'm on my period. Like, no, I wasn't. I had a terrible UTI.
Yeah.
To the point where I didn't even want to kiss him.
Yeah.
Like, I just, my body was rejecting it.
Yeah.
My body. And the person I'm with now, not once.
Yeah.
In the entire time that we've been together, have I had a UTI or a yeast infection.
Yeah. Because I remember being in a relationship this time last year. Not this time. Wow. What month is it? March? That's crazy. Over a year ago, where every time I fucking slept with this guy that I was dating, I woke up with a UTI. And not just like, I have a UTI. Like, I'm chills and cold sweats and I'm fucking, it was every single fucking time.
If you're talking about the person I think you're talking about,
yep.
You were sick, physically ill.
Yes, I was so miserable and he was, but it's like in the moment I could have told myself, oh, it's almost like at the very least, even if this is the right person, is that really what you want your sex life to look like?
Like
every
time forever?
You have sex with them, you have a UTI. Like if that's not enough to just leave on its own, then that's that. But there were so many other things. But my point is like, that was to me the worst thing. And he was the worst person for me literally ever. And instead of looking at the signs, because I know like when you're in the moment, it's hard to accept that.
You make any excuse.
I even made jokes to him about it. Like, I think this happens because my body like fucking
hates you
literally.
Like there's no, that's the biggest red flag the universe can pull on you.
Yes.
Your body cannot physically handle their biochemistry.
No, it's literally a biochemistry thing.
Because there's pheromones, there's things that happen when you get together. Everyone looking at my drink.
It makes me nervous.
I swear.
Why just put it over here?
Well, because I keep drinking it. Well, then
please.
There's things within your DNA that are chemical red flags. Mm-hmm. And if you can't ignore that red flag, you deserve the yeasty.
Like, true. I deserved every fucking UTI and yeast with infection.
With that guy?
That I got.
Fucking yeast. She'd be like, ah, this sucks. I'd be like, Allie.
UTI, yeast. Well, on that note, though, this is kind of a change of topic. I love how we said we were going to keep it light tonight because we were in a silly, goofy mood. So this is something that I saw recently, and it's called the Fraser Allen Allen theory. Okay. And this resonated with me because a bitch resonated with this shit. Okay. The Fraser Allen Allen theory states that the person you want doesn't want you back, and the person that wants you, you don't want back. So essentially, the way that the person you want treats you, like they don't give a fuck about you. They're always leaving you on red. Why aren't they treating me good? Is the exact same way you're treating the guy that wants you that you don't want back. And it's just this vicious cycle.
Ongoing cycle.
Like you're telling your best friend, you're like, I don't know why no guys want me. Meanwhile, there's this guy over here that's telling his friends not about you.
The guy that's like begging for your attention.
Yeah, and you're like, God, they're so annoying. But that's
what you're leading them on casually while he's leading you on casually.
Right. So it's just like this vicious cycle. And it's called the Fraser Allen Allen theory, which essentially says that like, anything that you're giving to someone else is like happening to you. It's just like this cycle.
It's cosmic karma. Yep. I mean, like if you look at it in a cycle like that, if you're going to treat someone a certain way, you're going to get treated a certain way.
But it's so annoying because it's like sometimes these guys like, you're right. I'm looking for a guy that's going to give me everything I want and it's not you. But here's a guy that's going to give me everything I'm asking for. But I don't want that guy. I want this guy. But then here's a girl that's going to give him everything he's asking for. But he doesn't want me. And it's just this fucking crazy.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you break it? Because there's a guy who's treating you so well, you don't want him. But the guy that's treating you like shit, you want him.
Is it something to do with like attachment styles or, you know, trauma or like walls you have up? Like you don't want the good guy. But I honestly feel like, because from my experience, when this has happened to me, it's just like, it's not a guy that I want to be with. And so then that made me feel like shit to hear this. I was like, is that just how the guy that I want feels about me?
Maybe. And it's hard to accept that. And it's hard for the guy that you don't want to accept that. But that's kind of the shit of that cosmic cycle where it's like when you find the person where you both link up.
Because here's the thing, like neither of those people are your people.
They're not your people.
So once you find your person, so you're just chasing everyone in a circle until you finally are running headfirst at your person and then you collide and then it works. So it makes sense because if you were to accept the love from this person, then that would be your person, right? So like I get the reason why it happens, but it does suck. And it does suck to think that you're causing pain and causing that to someone else.
Right. Like why would I make somebody feel like this? Why is somebody making me feel like this?
But it does bring a light to the fact of like maybe the person that the guy that doesn't want you or is making you feel like shit doesn't really realize like how shitty you feel because they're so disconnected from it.
Well, and honestly,
they're focused on something else.
I totally believe that when you meet the right person, you kind of step into who you should be as a partner.
Yeah.
Because I've been with guys who I did not give my whole self to. And it was Fraser Allen Allen for sure. Yeah. They were chasing me. I was chasing someone else. And I was not being the person who I would be in a relationship that I wanted to be in.
Right.
But when I linked up with someone who I wanted to be with, my whole attitude changed about how I treat them. Like I wanted to be an acts of service. I wanted to give them everything that I had because I knew they reciprocated. That's kind of when the cycle ends is when you're with somebody who isn't chasing somebody else.
Yeah.
They're chasing you.
Yeah. Well,
and you're chasing them.
The thing that sucks too, coming from someone that's still fucking single and probably going through this right now, you think that the person you're talking to isn't chasing someone else, right? Because they're talking to you all the
time. You'd like to fucking hope so.
Yeah, you'd like to fucking hope so. But at the end of the day, you never know. So anyways, I saw that theory and I was just like, damn, it's so true. And I've actually had that thought before. It's funny how everything's a theory. Like I've had a thought, but it's already a
thing. But it already exists.
Because I've thought about
It already exists.
Because I've had that thought before with like certain guys that would give me the world like I offer to the guy that I want. Like I'd give you the world.
But
why
he's not offering it back.
But he's not offering it back. And then
and the guy behind you is
that
offering
are offering me the world. But I'm like, get away from me, you fucking crazy stalker.
And you're the crazy stalker for the guy.
I'm like, fuck. It makes me not want to fucking date. It makes me want to just hide under a rock until someone comes and breaks my rock down.
But honestly, you're never going to find the right person if you don't talk to people.
Yeah.
This is something I was just talking to my friend. She's like, I'm never dating again. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to die alone. Like, dating sucks.
Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush. Going on dates is horrible. That's why you have to bring two of your friends, watch an earlier podcast. It's not fun, but you're never going to meet the person that you're supposed to be with. Organic relationships happen. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But you're a lot more likely to meet the person that you're supposed to be with if you put yourself out there.
I also think there's some beauty in failure and in rejection. As much as rejection sucks and we all hate it, like, being rejected is part of the cycle that brings you to where you're meant to be.
I wouldn't know.
You literally would, and I can name an example, but...
I'm joking. Damn. Damn, she's gonna gun me like that?
Because Madison's only been rejected once in her life, and I've rejected every 12 days.
Ouch, though. Ouch, that shit hurted.
Okay, well, don't be so afraid of rejection. Anyways, rejection brings you to a place of, like, peace almost, in a sense, because you learn to appreciate yourself. And I don't know, I feel like the people that are the most rejected are the ones that have to learn, like, certain lessons. So once you learn the lesson, then you move on from that phase of your life. However, I do think that without feeling that rejection and that, like, windy road on the way to finding your person, you wouldn't appreciate it as much when you found it.
Because how are you going to meet the person that you're supposed to be with if you haven't learned all the lessons that you learned from the people who hurt you, disrespected you, taught you these shitty lessons? You wouldn't know that that person was your person unless you'd been hurt and you understood what you needed.
Also, we all hate being rejected. It's embarrassing. It brings our self-esteem down. But I just want everyone out there to know, because I deal with this chronically where I feel like I'm the only person in the world that's ever been rejected. And that's why we talk about this type of stuff on our podcast, because you're not the only person that's been rejected. Like, I've been rejected probably 100 times.
I've been rejected. Every woman has been rejected.
We've all
every
felt
man
that
has
way.
Been rejected.
It's so normal. Like, rejection is such a normal part of life, and it's nothing to feel, like, embarrassed
ashamed.
Or ashamed of.
Yeah.
Or, like, you're less of a person, because it really is. Like, how often do you hear of someone, like, that's famous talking about, speaking in terms of influencers, talking about, like, a relationship that didn't work out, or a guy that didn't want them, or, like, their shitty relationship? Like, that's a form of rejection. Being in a relationship where someone doesn't value you is a form of rejection, because it probably ended with them leaving you.
Absolutely.
And it happens to the best of us, and it's so normal. And I feel like I am one to take that so heavily. But when I take a step back and realize that I'm not the only fucking one in the world, I ain't special. This happens to everyone.
Nobody's fucking special. No beautiful, gorgeous A1 model. She's been rejected.
Yeah.
100 times. Mm-hmm. And the guy who thinks he is the most money and the most fucking riz,
he's been rejected. Yeah. The guy that's rejecting you, he's been rejected.
Everybody. And yeah. Humans deal with rejection really badly.
Yeah.
Like, our egos automatically take over. We want to compensate. We want to overcompensate. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. Why do you think I said on this podcast, say, I've never been rejected? I've been rejected.
Literally, yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
It sucks. It makes you feel like you're not beautiful enough. You're not smart enough. You're not funny enough. Why was I not enough for this person?
Right.
But it's not that.
No.
That it's not your person.
Yeah.
Your person is not going to reject you. Your friends, your people that you're supposed to be with are not going
to
reject you.
And be grateful for the people that do reject you, because I swear to God, every closed door is a new door that opens. And think about, like, every single person listening that is with the person that they're going to spend the rest of their life with. Think about if you weren't rejected by the last person that rejected you.
If you didn't learn those lessons.
Would you not have ended up with the person you're with now?
Think, like, about the friends.
Like, for you, for example, Madison, like, the person that rejected you right before you met your person.
The person that did what?
Shut up. He didn't reject you, but, like, it was a form of rejection.
No, because I got rejected. I'll accept it.
But, like, that was the turning point for you that made you, if you had been with him or stayed with him or put up with that shit instead of walked away, you wouldn't be with the person that you're with now.
Absolutely.
And so it's all just a path. And maybe the pathways happen sooner for other people, but you just have to keep trusting. And this is me preaching out loud, because I'm also not, I don't know who I'm going to be with. I haven't met that person. And I just recently dealt with rejection.
But you're doing such a good job of, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, slamming the door. Like, instead of leaving the door cracked so that nobody else can come in, slam the fucking door.
Slam that door.
Manifest
the
new relationship. Manifest the new life. Take the lessons that you learned from that relationship, put them into your new relationship, and move the fuck on.
More than anything for me, it's just like, I know the last like situationship I was in showed me so much of what I want because I didn't get it from them. Like all of the things that I wanted from this person that I wasn't getting, that I was like so upset about the whole time. It's like, why am I wasting my time on someone that's clearly He's not giving it to me. There yeah. will be someone, I hope, that will give me that someday, that I'll be able to just like wake up happy and content in the morning and just be like happy with that. And I know that it's not going to be that person. And so that's the hard part, because when you close the door to something and you don't know what's on the other side,
you have to mourn that loss.
Yeah. And like you walk away from something not knowing, like if I could go 6 months down the line and be like, hey, like this is so cool.
Crystal
like,
ball. Yeah.
But you don't have a crystal ball. So you just have to trust that you're making the right choice. And truly the right choice is always going to be following what makes you feel the best.
And taking out of the relationship what, not, instead of looking at the negatives, what you didn't have, but instead looking at what you want.
Yeah.
Is such a positive.
Well, that was a positive way for me to flip it, because it's like he did so many things that I didn't want. But the things that I didn't want were the things that I wanted. Like he didn't do things that I wanted, which were things that I didn't want in my next relationship, you know?
Exactly. So, and so now you can actually categorize that and look at yeah. that and say, okay, I've learned, I'm going to move on. And the next person I'm with, if they're not checking X, Y, and Z.
Bye.
So just to transition here, if you're wondering why my mic is drastically, has been violently changed, it's because I'm fucking sick of it. You guys don't see what happens behind the scenes. Mic is the bane of my existence.
I'll insert a clip.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Let's do a podcast.
Do you need...
I'm not joking. I'm just going to do it.
Falls. It's not right. It's not correct. It's covering up my tits. I have to swivel my head. So this is it. This is where we're at.
So I am currently crying because the last 5 minutes has been so funny. But yeah, Madison, I already had this like mic stand and everything. So when we got Madison's mic and stand, we didn't really know what we were doing.
We're going to get a new one. Yeah. We're going to order a new one.
Tonight, probably.
I love you. It's been a good run. Fuck you from the bottom of my heart.
The amount of joy it's given me watching her struggle with this mic tonight.
It's a daily struggle.
Yeah.
Trying to set this up, put it away, make it fit around my yeah. big fucking body.
Yep.
So this is where we're at. It's here. It's it's connected. If you don't like the way it looks, don't fucking watch.
All right, relax.
I've been triggered.
I also know that this is a very hard pivot.
I have to hold it like this. In order to drink my drink, I have to hold it.
This is a hard pivot from what we were just talking about.
The transition is not smooth. We went through some shit.
Which, in fact, this is going to be a quick and easy pod because we're all out of topics.
Well, just like that, we're all out of topics.
So aside from the microphone situation and the terrible transition, we're actually going to end the podcast here.
On a happy note.
We've had a really good time tonight. We're both a little bit zooted.
Is it a little zooted and booted? This is our 14th podcast.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kudos to us.
We just hit 40K on TikTok. We're a little bit celebratory vibes tonight.
Because as hard as it is, it's so much fun, mm-hmm. and we keep gaining traction. We keep moving forward, and we're very happy with where we're at.
Yeah, it's so much fun just sitting and filming with you, and we're also celebrating because I just started a new job. Well, I haven't started yet, but I start next week. So everyone, say a little prayer for me that it goes well and that I like my new job.
You're going to love it. I already know you are. We manifested this shit a long time ago.
Changing your life path is very scary, especially when you're comfortable and happy, but it's so important to trust your gut and just jump on opportunities when they come to you, because you never know, like, an opportunity will present itself to you and you could let it pass you by just because you're scared. And don't do that.
You don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah. Don't. Madison said this to me. Don't ever stay somewhere where you're happy, because you never know if you'd be happier somewhere else.
Because being comfortable is the worst thing you can possibly
being be. Being happy is not an excuse to stay.
To not move forward.
Yeah.
And I would just like to bring attention to the fact that a lot of people think that manifesting and believing in things is a half-assed way to get something or a witchcraft. Manifesting is not just wishing on a star and believing that something's going to happen. Manifesting is making it happen. Doing the work, believing in it, saying it, wishing it, but actually putting in the hours.
Tangible effort.
The tangible effort to make your manifestations a real thing in your life. Whatever you want to call that, prayer, hard work.
God, what, manifesting.
Whatever you want to make that in your life, saying something over and over, believing it, doing it every single day, it's going to become a part of your life.
The whole point of manifesting something is to direct energy towards that thing that you want. Which is the same thing with prayer. If you think manifesting is like the devil or like a demonic, like witchcraft, whatever, to each their own. But my thought on it is like the more energy you focus towards the good, the better the good gets. So
exactly.
Yeah.
If you're going to focus on the negative shit, you're naturally going to
draw in the negative.
Your energy is going to go towards negative things.
And manifesting, whether you believe in it or not, like it's like this mystical thing that happens to people. At the end of the day, whether you believe in it or not, it is drawing in energy that you put out. That's all it is. So if you're believing in something positive, something unimaginable happening to you, but if you believe that it's going to happen, you're drawing in that unbelievable energy. And that's the whole premise of manifestation.
No one ever said manifesting was just hoping for something or wishing for
or
something.
Or magical or anything.
The people out there who are so negative about manifestation because they believe in Jesus Christ, their savior, good for you. Manifestation is Jesus Christ, my savior.
Yeah.
You believe in it, you wish in it, you do it, you put the work in.
Everyone's perception of it
It's not just wishing on it and then being lazy and hoping it just fucking happens to you.
And we bring this up because we've gotten a lot of flack on hate. Some of our
I saw a viral reel actually that was a response to our reel that said these people that think manifestation is just going to make things happen for them are pathetic.
Yeah, well,
nobody ever fucking said that.
That's not what we said.
Nobody said you just make a wish and it happens.
But at the same time, like, I don't give a fuck what you guys think what we said was. I don't care if you think we said, I like to stick my thumb in my ass and turn myself around 8 times and pretend that the sky is pink.
Hey, if that's what makes it work for you, then
if that's what you want to think,
fucking do it.
Fucking stick my thumb in my ass and call me pink.
Honestly, we should check it out.
Yeah, maybe life would be just a little bit better if we didn't judge each other so hard. Anyways, my point of saying this is like, shut the fuck up.
The whole point of this segment was shut the fuck up. If you don't
mind your
manifestation,
focus on your own life.
If you want to pray, pray. If you want to manifest, manifest. If you want to put the hard work in, put the hard work in.
If you want to be a bad bitch,
stop judging other people.
Be a bad bitch. Cheers.
Bad therapy.
Your fucking microphone.
Bad therapy episode 14.
I love you guys. We'll see you next week.